Hey there, welcome. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, The Money Show. I am your co-host, James Parker. How you doing? I know, last time we talked, were you here for the Saturday show? I wish it were the case that everyone just listened to every second of every show every day. I know that's not the case. I know chances are you didn't hear the Saturday show. But here's the good news is the optimism that was flowing through the Saturday show was primarily being fueled by one very important thing that we all have to swim through this time of year, and that's LSU Tiger football. And I'll be darned if LSU didn't pull it off. I mean, are you serious? Finally, the monkey is off the back. I know. The path is clear. There's a few obstacles here, but the big one's now behind us. Us, like I caught a pass at the game. But, you know, I don't want to be too cautious. I like to jump on the bandwagon full force. But I was a little more skeptical than Gregory was. Gregory was 100% sure that this is going to be LSU's year. And I just know I've been burned by that feeling in the past. But, boy, if it didn't work out this time, right? So, congratulations. We'll just forget about what happened on Sunday. That's we don't have to relish on too much football. This is a financial show. Better get back to the news of the day. A huge number I want to start with. One of the things that we pride ourselves on the show is, you know, while the rest of the station, the rest of the day gives you the news, we give you the financial news. So some of the same stories we talk about, we just give you the financial angle on them. That's not what I'm doing here. What I'm doing here is picking up a story that the rest of the news doesn't even touch, that you would not even know about whatsoever, much less the financial angle, if you didn't listen to this show. Do you know the Holiday Singles Day? Have you heard of this? We've talked about it on the show in the past. We talked about this time last year. We talked about it about this time 2 years ago. We've really picked up Singles Day on this show about 5 years ago. It's been an annual report. And what it's turned into in China is sort of, it's like Christmas plus Valentine's Day all rolled into one, I guess is a rough sketch of my understanding of what this is. And it started out not too long ago, sort of like an anti-Valentine's Day where, hey, all you single people in the world, you know, hang in there. You'll find that one true love and, you know, single life's not so bad. You're not alone. You're not really alone. And then they started giving each other gifts and then it escalated. And so now it's like Black Friday, but there's sort of that romance element in it too. So it's like Christmas plus Valentine's and Singles Day. That is huge for Alibaba. Alibaba being basically the Chinese equivalent of Amazon. And I want you to hear this gigantic sales number. I'm not sure. I heard this earlier today from Susan Lee on Fox Business, and I'm not sure if my brain has quite digested the entirety of how big this number is and how much further we have to go before we even compare to Singles Day. You think Black Friday's awesome? Listen to this.
Seems pretty easy for them, doesn't it? In 24 hours, selling $38 billion worth of merchandise. And if you think about it, that's seven times Amazon's Prime Day, which lasted 48 hours this year. So Alibaba bringing in the celebrities. We had Taylor Swift performing in China. Also, Kim Kardashian doing a live stream of the products that she had on offer. At the end of it, after 24 hours, $38 billion in sales. Compare that to Prime Day. It's just $7.1 billion this year. And that was over 2 days, mind you. And Alibaba telling us that iconic American brands did very well in the 24 hours. That includes the likes of Apple, Nike, and also L'Oreal as well. Some of these beauty brands selling a lot of goods in 24 hours. And there was a bit of concern heading into Singles Day because we are in the midst of this intense U.S.-China trade war. And some thought there would be a boycott of American brands. Not the case, though, but we do have a slowing Chinese economy. However, that is not hurting the consumer, as you saw with the record number of sales.
$38 billion went through Alibaba, and I mean, billion. 38, this is B. $38 billion went through Alibaba in one day. That's a pretty successful website. If you could squeeze out a 1% margin out of that, would you make 380 mil in a day?
I don't know. Maybe the Chinese need some of the 50-50 on there, too.
Now, how does that play in? I'd love to hear this.
I don't know, but man, that is something. I'd like more detail on the data, but I think that's more Asia and not just China.
okay.
on that, by the way.
Well,
Asia- their market, remember, World Bank still considers them a third world country, developing country. We know that's BS. But with that said, they're not selling to the entire population of their country. Like, for the most part, here in the U.S., if you're selling online, you're selling to pretty much most of the country. You're selling to those that want to be online. They're not online because they're not aware of it, have no idea, don't have electricity or internet access. Everybody has access. So here in the U.S., you're selling to those that want to be on it. Over there, no. But that's why I'll say I think it's more Asia.
I can see that. I like the perspective she gave there. Amazon Prime Day was about $7 billion in online sales for one day. Actually, they spread that out over 2 days. If you go look at the online sales for Black Friday last year, it was a little over $6 billion. So Alibaba did about five times the business of Amazon Prime Day.
Yeah, and an example of that, you know, I talked with somebody today, multimillionaire, and you know what they want to do with the online stuff? Nada, nothing, zero.
That's interesting.
I think they've done okay without it. So
right?
They're good. So it's just, you're not reaching everybody, but does this person have access to it? Is the person aware of it? Absolutely he is.
How do you argue against that guy?
I don't have a problem with it. We take care of what he needs and we're good. But it is, you know, I'm there to help provide service, and I don't have some requirement. Well, you have to be able to log on to this. You have to do this. No, you don't. But it's just saying, and I know all those people in rural China working on the rice paddies. Everybody's not moved to the city. Not all of it's developed. Imagine as they continue the development, and what's that called? Huawei?
Oh, Huawei did great. Yeah.
It, you know, when they actually, instead of worrying about the rest of the world getting wired up to their stuff, what about their own country getting wired up? Imagine when they do get everybody wired up and into the modern world. Yeah, it will be something, but it's just like, you understand, if you're a company going over there to sell, you're not selling to everybody, just only a portion of that market. So that's why I feel that reach is Asia. And you've got more Asian countries in that region that per population is more connected than actually China is, when you think about that, versus here. And you've got people that just don't want anything to do with it, don't need it. You've got people that have total access and they have no interest in Amazon, as an example. You know, somebody I was talking to today about Best Buy and such. Yeah, why would you use Best Buy when you use Amazon? Because I kind of talked about, I went by this one store that closed in our area because they centralized their location. They had two, and one of them was really needless. And I went in and I walked in and the store is basically empty. I said, I guess you're closing this one and centralizing to the one up the road. And they said, yeah. And I said, yeah, why would you use them when you use Amazon? I said, I was there for a TV. I said, I don't get any TVs through Amazon. I said, I was there to look around. Then I was going to go back, get on my computer, and I've got points to use. I said, yeah, I was going to order one and then go pick it up from their store. He said, well, you know, that makes sense. So, you know, I honestly don't order much from Amazon. So, and that's, we've got a lot more choices. When you think about Asia, what has Alibaba done probably for most for that region? Give everybody access to something. Think about when, instead of it's an alternative, what if it's your primary access for a region of the world? Think about it that way. Why is that so popular? And it's like Prime Day for them. It's all discounted on, and when else or when can they do it? That might be the only day they can afford it. Just a few thoughts there. Few thoughts.
All right. Well, while that's rolling around in my head, I'm going to throw something else at you. Okay. I was watching Fox Business do some coverage of this, and Susan Lee right after that put up a graphic, the top five brands, retail brands that scored biggest on Singles Day. We would recognize a couple of these. Huawei was in there. I think they were third. There was another Chinese company that was fourth. But Susan Lee had the graphic saying Nike was number one. Nike.
Yeah, global brand.
Kind of explains a little bit why they were so abrased by the GM of the Houston Rockets last month, showing support for the Hong Kong protesters. Like, hey, we do not need to get on the bad side of China. There's a lot of money about to be spent over there.
I'll tell you from this standpoint, it, you know, the way they're kind of looking at it is, yeah, we don't necessarily agree to that, but do we need to be talking about that over dinner?
Mm-mm.
Think about it. There's a couple things you don't talk about at Thanksgiving. Religion, and especially politics in these times there. So they're kind of like, okay, we're doing business, but do we have to talk? And that's geopolitical, more or less. It's like, do we have to comment on politics at this time? Because we're all getting along good without it. And yeah, do we agree on everything? Absolutely not. Everybody sees things a little bit different, but do we need to talk about that?
And how boring would that be if we all agreed anyway?
It would be no fun.
Who would cheer for the Falcons?
Hey, 60 Minutes was interesting. I know it's gotten a lot of news coverage today, Jamie Dimon. We're going to kind of dissect it on the show tomorrow evening, especially the one part where Leslie Stahl hammers him about the economy and stuff, and then he has an awesome response, but there's other stuff in there. And, you know, I've never, to be full disclosure here, never been a big Jamie Dimon fan, but you know what? I learned a lot about him last night. And that's why I think, you know, if you're saying like, I can't wait for you to dissect it, I missed it on all the news shows today. Well, if you go online, you can go to CBS News/60 Minutes or something like, just go to your search engine, type in 60 Minutes Jamie Dimon, and you'll get there. It's 15 minutes or less without commercials and stuff, but that segment's good. But we're going to talk about it tomorrow night. I thought it was very interesting. And besides, big fan of CBS Sunday Morning News. And gosh, that was a great episode yesterday if you want to learn some stuff. And I'm always about expanding the mind.
Looks like I got to spend some time with my DVR.
Yep.
All right. I spent a big chunk of yesterday in a bounce house, so I was doing important stuff too.
So I did a search here and I said, what qualifies you to be a veteran? Under federal law, a veteran is any person who served honorably on active duty in the armed forces of the United States. Discharge is marked as general, and under honorable conditions also qualify. They would be considered a veteran no matter how long they've served. So this is any military person that's been on active duty for any amount of time and discharged honorably. And we do think there's so many people that have served honorably in the armed forces, and so many alive to thank for what they've done for us and all their jobs, regardless of whether they fought in combat or in support roles anywhere in the world, is just tremendously important. And we appreciate them all. And there's a lot of them that we can't thank that gave the ultimate service to us as well.
There was a great list on Forbes of six things that veterans need to know when it comes to financial planning. We're going to cover, I think, three of them, Gregory. But also, I wanted to pull in a call. I just remembered this one back from March. Cody in Livingston, he's a military guy, and now he's going to the next phase of life called retirement. And there was just a whole spiderweb of rules around the windfall elimination provision, Social Security, and the military retirement system. And I think Gregory cleaned it up pretty nice in about, this is a short call, about 1 minute.
Seems pretty easy for them, doesn't it?
Oh, no, that was Susan Lee. Dang it. Thought the call was longer than that. 4 minutes. Thank you. Cody, Livingston Parish. You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Cody?
Oh, yeah, I had a question. I'm getting ready to retire from the military. I've got both active duty and National Guard time. And I draw VA benefits right now from when I was deployed. overseas, and I was wanting to know if any of that's going to affect my Social Security, or will I still be able to draw Social Security once I reach 80.
Were they taking Social Security out of your pay?
Yeah.
Then it's not going to affect it. Typically, where you are receiving pension money and were not participating in Social Security is when you're going to have the government offset affect that. So you're not going to have any impact.
Yeah, because I was just worried because, you know, they're both coming from the federal government, the VA and my military. I didn't know if it would, you know, offset the other, you know what I mean?
Right. Good question. Good concern. But you seem to be in good shape there.
Yeah, dodge the bullet. Anything else we can help you with, Cody?
Yeah, I have one more question. It's actually for my mom and dad was wondering, and they can't figure it out. And I was wondering, too. My dad, my mom retired, but she didn't pay into Social Security, but my dad did. And right now he draws disability. And she was wanting to know if she would be able to draw any off of his Social Security that he paid into or not.
Now, is this because she didn't work?
Worked for a state job in Louisiana, but they don't pay into the Social Security there. She just gets
right.
her pension.
So she has a pension in that case.
Right.
Yeah, she is going to, she might have a, it depends on the work history. Did she work outside the state? So let's assume that is a no. If she's going to draw any, it's going to be very little from that because she didn't participate in there. Now, and here's the other negative as well. If he passes before her, she will not be able to draw his survivor benefits because she didn't participate in Social Security. So there's kind of two negatives there.
I hate to break
that news to you, but yeah, that's what happens. You don't see now if she had never worked, she would be able to draw the spousal benefit off his record, which she could receive the survivor benefits of his record once she of eligible age.
That's if she hadn't worked though.
Right. I'm just giving a scenario if she had never worked, but because if you've never worked, you've never paid into Social Security. But however, when you work for a state that you're putting money into or pension, like Louisiana, for example, she didn't participate in Social Security. However, she cannot draw any benefits because of that. So just no paying into Social Security comparison is all that was.
Yeah, I was trying to save them a trip to Social Security because they didn't know. I told them I didn't think that she could either, but I just wanted to, you know, I was listening to you and I was like, well, that'd be a good question to ask on top of my other one I had, you know.
Yeah,
that is a good one.
If she's able to draw anything, it won't be much. Might be worth inquiring, though.
Yeah, and if you want to read up on it, it's called the Windfall Elimination Provision, and they have a whole section of the Social Security website with a bunch of frequently asked questions there. SSA.gov is the Social Security website, Social Security Administration, SSA.gov. You just need those three little letters, SSA.gov. Good, Cody? All right, I saw him nod.
Awesome.
We're good. All right, we're back live now. That was Cody in Livingston. Yeah, as if the windfall elimination provision wasn't complicated enough, you throw a couple more variables in there, you might as well just call somebody because you know you don't understand all those rules. I don't understand all those rules, and I've been sitting next to Gregory for 9.5 years now. 9.5.
Well, one thing, you know, I was in the military a long time ago, and I just think there's so much more, you know, because they have a lot more opportunity to save money. They get to do the thrift and educational opportunities. And that's one thing I've got noted here. I wanted to share this on the show we do on Saturdays. And we just had so many callers and this was really missed. But this is, and I was going to do more of it but I'm just going to tell you what it is. Military veterans who have served at least 3 years of active duty after September 10th of 2001 qualify for the active duty GI Bill. The veterans' tuition and fee payments at an in-state college are paid in full. I'll repeat that. Tuition and fee payments at an in-state college are paid in full. Different rules and payouts apply for veterans with less than 3 years of active duty or if a private college is selected. Can I repeat that one more time? Tuition and fee payments at an in-state college are paid in full if you have served at least 3 years of active duty since September 10th of 2001. We've got, watching something the other day of somebody's got $1 million in college debt. You know, we hear about everybody, you know, I've got, I'll just say a number of employees. I don't think all of them, but I've got quite a few employees that carry college debt. We all know people, you know, it's unbelievable. Now, one of the reasons I joined the military back in the day was because I could make money. I was entrepreneurial and I liked the idea of the military. And since I was let's just call it single digit age, upper end of that, I was interested in ROTC, helicopters, military, and going to Southern Miss for that. And it didn't work out well for me that way because I'm colorblind. But one of the reasons I joined the military is they would pay me money and did tuition reimbursement. And I didn't have college debt. You were talking about Bernie has a better system for college than the United States Armed Forces.
No, I was just going to try and get some contact information for his staff so I could call him because he's been proposing a program by which students in America can get free college tuition. But you just told me we already have one. So
we already have one. Well, then what the government.
So what is he promoting then? You just go to college and you don't have to do anything for it?
3 years of active duty service beyond 2001. So we're beyond that.
Oh, yeah.
And
clearly that's going a September ahead, 11th related bill.
Yeah. The veterans tuition and fee payments at an in-state college are paid in full. No, they didn't say West Point. They said an in-state college.
Could be Southeastern.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Could be, you know, future national champs LSU. That's a state college.
I like the juxtaposition, though, when you say that. And I got to turn on the TV and there's politicians promising free college. He's not the only one doing it. We just like to pick on him. But there's other candidates who are promising the same thing.
Oh, maybe we need to send President Trump an email. You know, President Trump, you have one of those programs. You know, he's got a lot to look at and see. He might not know, but
I wish he would say that, right? How big would that be?
The program, just do 3 years active duty and you can go to in-state college and not have debt for the next 20 years.
Yeah, but Gregory, I don't want to have to work for it. I just want it given to me. I want someone else to work for it. And I want you to take those resources and give them to me.
Well, you know, that can happen for you, but eventually it's all going to run out. It's not going to be good. If there's some references you would like to check, it's called Venezuela. You know, they started taxing all the wealthy, taking away from the companies. Like, no, you didn't build that. The people did.
Nationalizing industries.
Yeah. Yep. You can't keep all that money and stuff. No. We have to take all your profits, all your gains. So what happened? All the people with money left, all the businesses left, and what do they have left?
Things got so bad they had to do gun control.
Oh, yeah, that's when you know you're in trouble.
Yeah,
when they're taking away the guns.
Excuse me, can I see all your guns real quick? No, we're doing fine up here at the Capitol. I just like collecting them, I guess. And one more little cherry on top for advice for veterans who are going through financial issues. I just thought this was really cool. Forbes did a list of some financial planning tips for U.S. veterans and those who are still serving. And I learned something that came up on the show maybe 7-8 years ago. We just hadn't seen it again. I want to remind you about the Service Members Civil Relief Act. That places a cap on the interest rate for any loans that you took out prior to active service. Remember, we mentioned that forever ago. And another tool that you have in your quiver is military members are also allowed to terminate a house or apartment rental agreement if they've been permanently moved to a new station or temporarily moved to a new base for 90 days or more. And I also want to add in there, whenever I listen to Mortgage Gumbo or Dwayne Stein's on our show and he takes a call and someone asks about getting into a mortgage loan, the first question he asks them is, are you a U.S. veteran? Before he does anything else, like you, your first question is, do you have an emergency fund? Basically for everyone. Yep. Dwayne's is, are you a U.S. veteran? Because there's VA loans out there. No money down. You get preferential treatment on qualifying and rates. It's really good stuff there. But there's a bunch of programs out there. And we just want you to be aware of them. It's the least we can do.
Yeah, we can go back to under federal law, a veteran is any person who served honorably on active duty in the armed forces of the United States, discharged, marked as general, and under honorable conditions also qualify. They are considered a veteran no matter how long they have served, and they're welcome to the benefits, and they deserve it. We need people to do that, and I think that's an awesome trade-off. 3 years active duty, and go get you some college.
Something we worry about when we're making a financial plan, longevity. It's great if you can live a long time, but it's not so great if you run out of money. Think about the problems, financially speaking, you would have for this couple. They live in Austin, Texas. They have a combined age of 211 years. John and his wife, Charlotte. John's 106 years old. Charlotte's 105 years old, Gregory.
They're a couple?
They're a couple.
They're both alive. They're both millennials. And they've taken advantage of Social Security. Can you imagine how much they've drawn out?
They're millennials.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
Greatest Generation?
No.
Centenarians.
Centenarians. Man, I butchered that up. Now we can't reuse that segment. Centenarians. Both of them. That's unbelievable. Does it say what age they turned Social Security on? Because, gosh, they've drawn Social Security longer than they worked.
Of course. They've drawn Social Security probably longer than I've been alive and you've been alive. Okay, here's the backstory.
How long have they been married?
They got married in 1939. So do the math. Sir, that is 80 years. Same woman.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that is something. I tell you what, I'm blown away by this story.
I bet you she's heard all his jokes. But they've been together for 84 years. They first met at the University of Texas in 1934. How hard would it be to make a financial plan for these guys? But to your credit, you like to make financial plans out to year 110. I've heard you make financial plans where we're going to run out of money at age 110.
We do like to look that far out. Like, you know, what's it going to look like when you get to 100? How are you going to be? Gosh, what a story. It still goes back and reminds me of, you know, I lost my grandmother a few years ago, but a few years before that, I asked her when I was visiting, grandmother, I've never talked to you about this, but would you tell me about your Social Security check that you get? Then I saw her adjusting in the chair, and usually that wasn't a good sign. That was, maybe I shouldn't have asked. You know, I didn't never delve in. I've been in the industry for a long time, and she knows what I've always done. And she said, you know, it's aggravated me ever since I started it, because I found out a few months after I had started it that I could have waited and got more. So I gathered up my checks and took them back down there. You know, that's when they mailed you checks, and she had not cashed any of them. 6 months in, had not cashed any of them. So I took my checks back down there, and they talked me out of stopping it. And then, you know, I said, you know, I kind of did the math real quick after she told me what she was getting. And I said, grandmother, I don't think you should be worrying about that, because you've got the best of them. You've drawn out so much more than you put in. She lived to age 98.
She came out ahead on that deal. Yeah. Tell them about, you got a couple events coming up. The next one is,
we've got a couple of wine, wisdom, and food events. We're at the 19th of this month at the Ruth's Chris at the Hard Rock. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then Rizzuto's in New Orleans. It's in the Lakeview community. We're doing the wine, wisdom, and food experience, Italian style. And we're sharing some wine tips, some foodie tips. We're going to give you some financial information, some estate planning ideas as well. We're going to talk about the 50-50-50-50 money management philosophy. And I tell you what, that is something you're probably going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't know this before now. Here's what you do. Call the office. You have to RSVP and get some more information. It's 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com.
Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.